Good morning and welcome to the Snow Nose Gardening Show. I'm Norm Carlson, here for the next hour or so, taking your calls and questions at 977-1070 on this, the longest continuously running gardening show anywhere in the world. And that's no joke. We've done the research on it. We can't find anybody who's been doing it longer than we have. We've been here since the spring of 1950, bringing you local, accurate gardening information, tips on how you can maximize the amount of enjoyment and return on investment that you receive from your landscaping and the gardens around your home. If you have a question about anything having to do with your lawn, your vegetable garden, your flowers, annuals, perennials, trees and shrubs, anything with leaves and roots, give us a call at 977-1070. We'd be glad to help you out, get you some great information on accurate, time-tested solutions for problems that you run into, and also some suggestions on, you know, ways to maybe make things a little bit easier or just a little more fun out in the garden. And of course, with the weather the way it is right now, I don't know that I would exactly call it much of anything going on outside fun. But I tell you, when it gets like this, it's a challenge doing stuff out in the garden, not in the yard. But it's a good opportunity to get some things taken care of. Some things are going to work really well. And it's also an opportunity to take a break from some things that maybe not so high up on the list of favorite things to do, but things that you need to do outside. And this is an opportunity to kind of take a break from some of them. One of those being doing a lot of mowing on the lawn. When it gets this hot and things are starting to get a little bit dry, it's been a little while since we've had rainfall, so that's the other, you know, the other thing that you start looking at in these summer conditions also. One of the things that you want to look at is how frequently you're cut and to what height you're mowing your grass. This is the time of year when you can space those mowings out a little bit further. You don't need to do it maybe every week. You can get by with every 10 days, in some cases every 2 weeks, which is always a nice little bit of a, you know, you can take a vacation a little bit from that chore. The other thing to look at is when you do cut your grass, make sure that, number one, you've got good sharp blades on your mower. And this is the time of year when that, if your blades aren't sharp, that's going to show up really, really quickly. And the other thing is mow as high as you possibly can. I normally don't recommend cutting tall fescue like we have in this area any shorter than 3 inches. And this time of year, I like to jack the mower up to about 4. And that's going to do a couple of things for you. Number one, it's going to reduce the amount of moisture loss through the mowed ends of the grass, because anytime you take off leaf blade surface on the grass, you're taking off moisture out of the plant. And with it as hot and dry as it is right now, that's something that you want to minimize as much as you possibly can. The other is, as that grass is allowed to grow just a little bit taller, it's still going to look neat. It's still going to look maintained, but it's also going to allow the grass to outcompete the weeds a little bit better, which is always a good thing. Nobody wants a lot of weeds in the lawn, and by shading out the surface of the soil, some of those weed seeds down there aren't going to have as good a chance to get established and grow up, and they're going to be shaded out and not do as well, not grow quite as fast and as well. So you're able to reduce the amount of weed competition by increasing the grass plant's ability to outcompete and outgrow the weeds. The other aspect is, with that shading, you're also reducing the amount of evaporation that comes off of the soil and reducing the temperature of the soil, which also is going to help the turf to be healthier and to be able to handle the stress and the heat of the summer a little bit better than normal. So raise the blades of your mower up a little bit if you can. If you got a riding mower, there's usually a way to raise the deck up fairly easily. If you've got a little push mower, the wheels are adjustable on there, either with a little lever that you can move to another, move up a couple of notches, or sometimes you have to turn the mower over on its side, take the wheels off, and adjust the holes that they're in. But it really is worth the extra effort to go ahead and mow your lawn a little higher. It's going to be much healthier, and you're going to be much happier with the results that you get. And the other thing is, while you're down in there, just check the blade and see how sharp it is. It's very easy to pop the blade off. It's just one bolt. Then you just unscrew that bolt, take it out, the blade comes off, and then you're able to just take a flat file or a grinding wheel, and with just a few strokes, unless your blade is pretty abused, it just takes a few strokes to put a nice sharp edge on it, and then you get a much cleaner cut on your lawn that way. And again, that's going to help to reduce the amount of water loss through the leaf blades, and it's also going to give your lawn a much cleaner cut, and which is going to make it look a lot better. It's pretty easy this time of year to, as you're driving around, to see areas where the lawn has been cut with a dull blade, because it has kind of a grayish, whitish cast to the end of those leaf blades, and if you get down and look at them closely, it looks like the fringe on a carpet or something. It's got these long, straggly, dried up, shredded ends of the grass blade. It looks terrible, and from a distance you can even pick it up. As I say, it gives the lawn kind of a whitish, grayish cast to it, and it's not healthy for the grass, and also doesn't give the lawn a very good look. So take the time and effort to sharpen your mower blades. If you're not quite confident in doing the actual sharpening, pop the blade off, bring it by the garden center, and for just a couple of bucks, we'd be glad to put an edge on it and allow you to get that nice, clean, healthy cut for your lawn. Our number is 977-1070. If you have a question that you would like to ask, just give us a call, and we'd be glad to help you out. Another thing to really watch out for this time of year is doing some of the spraying that may need to be done in the garden. As the temperature really starts to creep up there, like it has, you know, the last couple of days especially, any weed control that you've got to do in the lawn is probably best held off for another time. As these temperatures climb and you're putting down these broadleaf weed control products in the lawn, you're likely to cause some damage to the desirable turf grass too. So this is another one of those activities that, you know, if it's on your honeydew list, you tell them the garden guys said you can put it off till later, and you really will be ahead of the game by doing that. It's going to do a lot less damage to the desirable turf grasses. It's best to wait till we have temperatures down in the 80s. To put down any kind of weed control products in the lawn. Now, if you're in a situation where you've got to kill off a lot of weeds, that, you know, you're just killing everything with Roundup or, you know, another glyphosate-based product like that, this is a great time to do it. With these hot temperatures, that herbicide is drawn up into the plant, takes effect, kills the plant off very, very quickly. So if you've got some weeds in the driveway or cracks in the sidewalk, you know, any hard surface weeds like that that you want to control, or you've got some areas of bare ground that you want to clean up, you've got maybe, you know, along a fence row or something that you want to control the weeds, this is a great time to get out there with some cleanup or Roundup in one of those glyphosate-based herbicides, and it will do an excellent, excellent job at knocking those weeds down fast. So that's one to move up to the top of the list while getting the weeds knocked down in the lawn should move kind of to a back burner for a little while till the temperatures cool down a little bit. Looking at some of the pruning and things like that you may want to do out in the garden. This is still an excellent time to prune, even though the temperatures are up there. It's not, the only thing that I would not want to take on this time of year in these kinds of conditions is if you've got to do real severe pruning. If you're looking at going in and taking a plant down by a third or a half or more, really doing some serious size reduction, I would hold off on that right now. This really is not the best conditions to do that. But if you're going out there just giving your plants a haircut, just neatening things up a little bit, taking off some of the long ends and the, you know, the high wild branches that have come onto the plant, go ahead and do that. Feel free to do as much of that as you need to. It's not going to do any damage to the plants. They're gonna respond well to it, and you'll be able to neaten things up and give the garden that manicure look that you want. The other thing that we typically see a lot of this time of year is low-hanging branches. As new growth has come onto the ends of some of the lower branches on some of the trees in the landscape, they're starting to hang down over sidewalks and driveways and become somewhat of a safety issue as you're out mowing the grass or walking down the sidewalk or getting in and out of the car. And this is a great time to go ahead and take those lower limbs off. A lot of times you don't even need to take the whole limb off. If you start at the end and take off some of the longest growth, take it back to a fork and pop that long growth off that's hanging down there. A lot of times you're able to take enough weight off of the end of that branch that it, you know, once you get that long end taken off, it reducing that weight allows it to pop back up out of the way, and you're able to get it out of the way. It's no longer an obstruction, but you haven't taken that much off of the tree. So if you're a little squeamish about taking some of those lower limbs off, try that first. Try taking off some of the longest growth at the end. Take it back to a fork in the branch, and you'll be amazed at how much it springs back up out of the way. And it may be enough that you're able to leave that branch on and get it out of the way without taking the whole thing off, which in a lot of scenarios is a benefit. It helps to kind of balance the tree out, removes the safety hazards, but you're not taking a tremendous amount of growth off. And it's a way to do the pruning that you need to get a good look at it without getting real drastic right away. But a lot of times you can do a lot with just take a little bit off, step back, look at it. If you need to take a little bit more off, you can. But it's awfully difficult once you've taken it off to glue it back. It eventually may grow back and fill back in, particularly if you're not talking about a pine or a spruce or you know, some of the needled evergreens, junipers, things like that tend not to grow back very quickly once you get back beyond all the green. But most broadleaf deciduous trees and things like that, if you take a little too much off in a space, don't worry too much about it. It'll eventually fill back in. It may take a little bit of time. But if you're really worried about taking too much off as you prune, you can always go in there, take a little bit off, step back, look at it, see if it needs a little bit more, and then take a little bit more and just keep repeating that process until you're satisfied with the results that you've got. That's something that we do all the time, especially as we're trying to balance out the growth on a plant. We'll take a little bit off one side and step back, look at it, say, all right, you know, do we need to take a little bit more off? And if we do, we can come back and take a little bit more and work it gradually rather than take a big hunk off and say, okay, now how does that look? And he was like, oops, that was a little more than I wanted to. But even if that happens, don't worry too much. It's just kind of like a bad haircut. It'll eventually grow back in, and you can balance it out later if you need to. All right, do you have a question that you would like to ask? Our number is 977-1070. Give us a call, and we'd be glad to help you out. A lot of a lot of plants are doing a lot of growing in the garden this time of year, and it really is important to get out there and look at what's what's happening, see what needs to be trimmed up, pruned up. This is the time of year when things can start growing up and blocking sidewalks, blocking driveways, blocking windows, and it is a good time to make sure that those plants that you have out in the garden, out in the landscape, aren't becoming obstacles for safety and visibility and things like that. One of the other things that can become a hazard and a real safety concern as plants grow and mature are the plants at the end of the driveway or at a corner. If you have a corner lot and you've got plants growing right out at the corner by the road, you can really create some safety hazards as those plants grow up and start to block visibility for people behind the wheel as you get up to the corner or as you're trying to pull out of your driveway into the road. So take a good critical look at what safety concerns there may be with plants like that on your property. Make sure that you've got a good line of sight as you get up to corners or at the end of the driveway so that you can see what's coming and you're not creating a safety hazard for you and for others as you're trying to navigate around town. There's nothing worse than getting up to a corner and having to pull halfway into the intersection to look around a shrub that's gotten overgrown or some tree branches that are hanging low. It really is important to make sure that you maintain those good lines of sight so that you're not creating a safety hazard. We've got to take a break for the news here, but we will be back in a few minutes with more of the Snow Nose Gardening Show here on AM 1070 WINA. And good morning and welcome back to the Snow Nose Gardening Show. I'm Norm Carlson on this beautiful Saturday morning, beautiful hot Saturday morning. it may not be the most fun day to be out there in the garden, but it's a good day to kind of keep an eye on things, evaluate, see how things are going out there, do things early or late in the day rather than excuse me, right out there in the middle of the day is probably not the best day to be out there, not the best time to be out there doing a lot of strenuous work in the garden. But and just kind of pace yourself, take it easy, and you can still get some things done out there. Be above all, anything that you are doing out there, I want you to be safe about it. And that's one of the things that we really work on with the guys out on our crews is making sure that they're doing things safe. We're starting a little bit earlier in the morning and knocking off a little earlier in the afternoon to try to avoid some of the worst heat of the day. And then making sure that they've got plenty of access to water and able to keep themselves hydrated and just everything takes a little bit longer to get done this time of year, just because you physically can't work as hard and as fast when it's 100 degrees as you can when it's 75 for me, I like it when it's about 60, 65. That for me is ideal temperatures to be out there working. But I'll be out there a little bit later on this afternoon trying to do some weed control and things like that in some areas that we need to get some weeds killed off and in some parking lot areas and things like that. And it's gonna work great today. It's not going to be the most fun, but it needs to be done, so we get out there and get it taken care of anyhow. A couple of other things that this is a great time of year to be thinking about out in the garden. If you've got some hardscape, landscape construction type things that you want to look at, maybe getting a new patio or new walkway put in, especially a patio for enjoying some of the nice cooler weather that we've got coming up in just a few short weeks. We'll be into fall, and temperatures will be very, very comfortable to be outside, especially in the evening. This is a great time to be thinking about some of those hardscape projects so that you're able to get them in, get them done, and be able to enjoy them for those cooler temperatures in the autumn when it really is very, very pleasant to be out and enjoying evenings out in the garden, doing a little entertaining and whatnot as we get into the early fall. Like I say, this is a great time to be looking at those projects, getting those started and underway. And we've got a great free service right now that we're offering. Just give us a call out at the Garden Center. We can arrange for one of our designers to come out and meet with you, give you some suggestions, some ideas of what you can do, give you some pointers on what would work well for establishing a great outdoor entertaining space out in the garden. With a lot of different products that you can use for a paving surface under those areas, whether it's irregular or cut bluestone. Concrete unit pavers are great. There's a wide range of things that you can do with those. Even just a nice tamped firm gravel surface can be a great area to entertain on for a very, very reasonable cost. So give us a call out at the Garden Center. We'd be glad to set up an appointment with you to come out and give you some advice on what would work well for you and give you an estimate on what it would take to have us come out there and do the heavy lifting for you and get those projects done, get an area like that established for you so that you can take advantage of some of the great weather that we've got coming up here. And like I said, just a few short weeks. I was looking at the calendar the other day, and it's only going to be 6 weeks, and we're into prime lawn seeding season, into the full swing of it at the 1st of September. So while we're, you think this heat's never going to end, it's not going to be long before we're going to be back into the prime season for being outside and enjoying the environment here in the Central Virginia area. So really be thinking about some of those projects that you have had kind of in the back of your mind. This is a great time to be working on those and getting some of those done. And we'd be glad to help you out with those. Along that same line, with it being so close to lawn seeding season coming up, it's a great time to be looking at evaluating the conditions of your soil, seeing what your lawn soil pH is and what you may need to do to get those conditions corrected and adjusted, especially if you're looking at getting some seeding done this fall. This is an excellent time to test the pH of your soil, look at where you are so that you're able to get the lime or Magi-Cal down, have that pH starting to change and get into the range that you want so that when you put that seed down, it's going to have the growing conditions that it really likes and needs in order to thrive and do its best. So this is an excellent time. We've got kits out at the Garden Center that you can come pick up for very, very minimal cost that you can use yourself to get a good ballpark idea of where your soil pH is, or you can send it off to a lab and get a good laboratory result back that's going to be very, very accurate, give you some great recommendations on what to use. But either way, this is a great time to be testing your soil and find out where you're, particularly your pH. That's the main key factor that you want to look at with a soil test. Allow you to figure out where you are and what you need to do to get to where you need to be to have a good, healthy lawn. And it's amazing what a difference it makes and how well your fertilizer works, the ability of your plants to take up the nutrients that are already in the soil and just have a good, healthy soil environment for the roots of your turf to grow in. You'll be amazed at how much better and more successful the efforts that you make for your lawn will be if you've got the pH adjusted to the right range for this area. You know, our number is 977-1070. If you have a question that you would like to ask, give us a call, and we'd be glad to help you out with that. One of the other things that is a real concern this time of year in particular is the amount of water that we're using outside in the garden, in the landscape. Water use in this area spikes this time of year as we are starting to do a lot more things outside, and as it gets hotter and drier, there's a lot more watering going on out in the garden, and we want to make sure that we're doing that responsibly and making the best use of those resources that we possibly can. And in conjunction with that, this past week, LEAP, the local energy, I can't remember what the acronym stands for now, but anyway, it's a local energy program that has been started up in this area to help people to get the most out of the resources that we have in the area, be that water or electricity, heating, cooling, all of those kinds of things. They held a workshop this past Thursday evening about ways that we can conserve water and make the most effective use of our water resources, both inside and outside the home. And I was asked to come in and present a few ideas of things that we can do out in the garden and outside the home to help reduce the amount of water that we use out there and make sure that we're the water that we're using outside is utilized in the most effective and most efficient manner that we can. And well, we talk a little bit about some of the things that we can do very easily and inexpensively to help maximize the benefit that we get out of the water that we are using outside and make sure that we're not wasting water out in the landscape. And a lot of these come down to good basic common sense. One of the top ones to look at is some of the cleaning that we do outside the home. A lot of people will use a water hose to clean off the deck or clean off a sidewalk or the driveway, when in reality a broom or a leaf blower will do the job just as effectively without utilizing all of that water that really isn't going to benefit much of anything other than making sure that those surfaces are clean. And obviously, you want to make sure that those areas are clean and safe to walk on, and that you're not getting a lot of debris collecting that can be a trip hazard or something to slip and fall on, or something that's going to cause your deck surface or your patio surface to stain or deteriorate as that stuff builds up and traps moisture or what have you. You want to make sure that those surfaces are clean and free of hazards. But there are ways to do it that are much more earth-friendly than trying to do it with a water hose and washing the surfaces down. Now, there are scenarios where that that is necessary, and that's fine. But in a lot of cases, it's not necessary to use water to accomplish that task. We're able to do it with a broom or like I say, with a leaf blower works great to blow off a lot of the dirt and the debris that can collect on the surfaces without wasting the water that a water hose would. As you're using your water hose outside, be aware of drips and leaks on your outdoor faucet or in your hose. As a hose gets used over time, it's very easy for leaks to develop. Areas, especially as you're dragging the hose across paved surfaces, and you're rubbing on those abrasive concrete or asphalt surfaces, weak spots can develop in the hose, and you start to get leaks that'll form. And it's very easy, very inexpensive to repair those leaks. You don't have to go out and spend $30-$40 on a brand new hose. You can fix those leaks very easily for $1.99 hose repair kit, and you can fix those leaks that develop. If you've got the brass end on your hose, is that's gotten maybe worn out or run over, stepped on, bent and deformed a little bit so that it doesn't quite fit snugly onto the faucet or onto the attachments, the nozzles or sprinklers or whatever that you're using, those are very easy and inexpensive to replace. Also, in all of those attachment points, in the female end of it, there is a washer, just a rubber washer that fits up in there, and those can crack and get worn out or fall out, so that you're leaking a lot of water at that union between two hoses, or a hose and an attachment, or a hose and the faucet on the end outside of the house. And it's very, very easy to replace those washers, but it's also very easy to overlook and just kind of ignore. So if you've got one of those junctions that's leaking a lot, check and make sure that the washer is in place and that it's not gotten deformed or cracked or dried out over time. And if it has, just replace it. It's very easy to take a screwdriver, pop the old one out, and put a new one in there, and you'd be amazed at how much less water you're losing out of the hose just by doing those simple, quick, easy, inexpensive fixes. Another way to help maximize the amount of water that your plants are getting in the landscape is to reduce the amount of weeds that are growing in the garden. You don't necessarily think of weed control as a water conservation tip, but it really is. As those weeds are growing, they're removing water from the plant beds and from the soil that your desirable plants aren't able to get to. So by reducing the amount of weed competition that's in the beds, you're increasing the amount of water that's available to the plants that you really want to have in the garden. So as if we really need another reason to get rid of weeds, that's a very practical one that will help to reduce the amount of water that you need to add to your planting beds. Just remove the amount of weed competition that's there. Another quick, easy tip is to make sure that you're watering early in the day or late in the day. By doing that, you reduce the amount of evaporation that occurs. You're reducing the amount of water that's lost to the atmosphere that just evaporates out, and the plants never even have a chance to use. Watering in the middle of the day, particularly with any type of a sprinkler, there's a large portion of that irrigation water that you're putting down that evaporates off before it ever has a chance to hit the ground. And that's water that's just lost and wasted. In addition to that, you can actually create a little bit of foliar burn sometimes on your plants when those water droplets sit on the leaves in the heat of the day. So that's not a real beneficial thing either. So if you can, the best time to get out there and water your plants, like I say, is early in the day, early in the morning, or late in the evening when you're not the sun's not as bright, it's not as intense, and you'll lose a lot less water to evaporation if you're watering it in those times. Another great moisture saving tip out in the garden is to make sure that you've got adequate mulch. We talked about this quite a bit last week. Make sure that you've got a good layer of mulch up under and around your plants. That will help to trap moisture in the soil, both by reducing evaporation and capturing that water that falls in the area and reducing the amount that runs off and the speed with which that water runs off and moves away from your planting bed. So make sure you got a good layer of mulch around your plants. Another one that I talked about earlier in the show, mow your lawn as infrequently as you can and make sure that the mower blades are set up good and high. That will help to reduce the amount of water that's lost out of your lawn and keep your lawn a little bit healthier and happier in this heat. Another good one is if you're using sprinklers out in the garden, set a timer on them. Either use a kitchen timer or one of the timers that you can attach to the hose. That will help to make sure that you don't leave the hose on for an excessive amount of time and waste water that way. We've got a caller on the phone, so let's go to the phones. Good morning. You're on the Snow Nose Gardening Show.
Good morning. A couple weeks ago, there was a blurb in the news about a blight on tomatoes. And if you had it one day, you didn't have any tomatoes the next day. Was that a fraud?
Yeah, there are a number of different diseases that tomatoes can get, and the one that they were specifically talking about is a disease called late blight, and it's one that can attack your tomatoes. It's not a new thing. It's a disease that's been around for years. Some years we don't see any of it. Some years it can be a serious problem, and it's unlike some of the other diseases that can affect the tomatoes. Late blight is one that can take your tomatoes down completely and do it very, very quickly. So if you start to see some damage to the leaves, particularly on the lower part of the plant, that can happen very quickly, and the leaves kind of turn black, they get slimy and kind of greasy feeling. But getting out there and spraying the tomatoes with a fungicide, either a copper-based fungicide that's kind of on the organic end of things, or a daconil-based fungicide like Fungenil on the more traditional end of the fungicide arsenal. Get that. If you start to see those kinds of symptoms, get out there and spray the plants right away, and it is possible to save them and keep them from succumbing to the disease. The best way to control any kind of fungus disease on your tomatoes, not just late blight, but any of the other ones like early blight or sclerotia leaf spot or any of those, is to keep a real close look on an eye on your plants. As you start to see any kind of damage, treat them right away. And all of these products work much better to prevent the disease than they do to cure it. So that's where early detection and really keeping a real close eye on those plants will help to make sure that all of the efforts that you put into them are going to be going to yield you the best results. If you do see some really serious damage start to occur on your plants, another great way to nip it in the bud is to really remove any heavily damaged plants as quick as you see them. If you've got plants that are going downhill very, very quickly, rather than trying to save those one or two plants and maybe allowing that contamination to get onto to some of the other ones that are still healthy, go ahead and sacrifice those few that have got the disease really heavy. Pull those up. Get them out of there, wrap them up in a plastic bag and get them out to the trash. Don't put them into a compost heap. This is one scenario where you don't want to compost that kind of debris if it's got that kind of a disease issue going on. Bag them up, put them out with the trash, get them out of the garden, out of the area, so that you're not contaminating and reinfecting other plants that may come in later or that may not have the disease at this point. Good sanitation is always an excellent, excellent way to help control some of these fungal diseases that can crop up.
Let's see. One other item in that story, there's a tomato farm in Greene County. Are you familiar with that?
Yes. Yeah, and that's where the Cooperative Extension Service has seen a little bit of late blight. There were some plants that were brought into their Greene County office, and I saw some of the disease up there, and were able to work with the individuals that brought those plants in and get some good control measures in place. But it's just kind of raising the red flag that has been seen this year in the area, and it's something that you need to be paying attention to out in the garden, and making sure that if it does crop up in your garden, that you're taking preventative and curative action early to make sure that it doesn't become a serious problem.
Are the tomatoes like homegrown, or are they like the commercial that come from other places other than Virginia?
It's something that can come on tomatoes just about anywhere. So
I mean the tomato itself, the farm. Do they raise like homegrown tomatoes? Down here at the farmers market on the weekends.
To be honest, I'm not sure. I'm not sure where which locations were involved and where that that produce may have been going. But the tomatoes themselves are fine. It's just the plants that.
Thank you very much.
Well, we thank you. We're about out of time for this week, and we've got a couple other people that are just now calling in, and unfortunately we really don't have time to get to you, but you can give us a call out at the Garden Center or give us a call next week, and we'd be glad to get you on. Come out and see us at the Garden Center. We've got a great selection of plant material out there. We've got some wonderful peaches, nectarines, and we've got some donut peaches that if you have not tried a donut peach, not sure what a donut peach is, slip out to the Garden Center and try some of them. They are unbelievable. The flavor and the sweetness that you get from a donut peach, they're a wonderful snacking, just a fresh eating peach. They look funny. They're kind of flat and with an indentation in the middle where the pit is, kind of like a donut. That's where they get the name from. The pit is much smaller than a normal peach, and it's very easy to just pop the pit out and pop them in your mouth and eat them. And the flavor is just unbelievable. They're so sweet and so juicy. But several people come in and look at them. What the heck are these? Which try one, and they're instantly hooked. So come on out and see us. Like I say, we've got a great selection of stuff out there in the garden. We'd be glad to help you out with some of the issues that you're having. And if not, we'll see you right back here next week on the Snow Nose Gardening Show. Take care, everybody.